And thank God he did. Hey man, that is good news, isn't it? He definitely rose again, church. That's what we're celebrating today, is Resurrection Sunday. Every one of you in here have a problem you're battling today. You have something. You need God to touch you, heal you of something. Whether it's emotional brokenness, whether it's physical sickness, whether it's relationship problems, whether it's in your home with your children, whatever it is, we're all battling something. But the King of Kings is alive in this place today. He's alive in us today. And I am thankful for that because he's alive, there is hope for our future. I got thinking about this. No matter what is happening to you now, it will not stop what God's already done for you. What he's prepared for you will come to pass. This is not a myth. It is not a what if it happened. It did happen. When Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to many, the Bible said. He appeared to many. and hundreds saw him walk the earth for days before he ascended. And they knew, yes, this same Jesus who was crucified, who I saw bleed on the cross, who I saw give up the ghost, who I saw wrapped up in grave clothes, who I saw lay behind a tomb, and that tomb was sealed. It is that same Jesus that rose from the dead and now lives inside of us. This is not some fairy tale. This is the revelation of the plan of God. It's a gift to all of us. It's a gift to each of us because he is our king today, church. He is all of our king, not just some of our kings. He's all of our king because of who he is. No matter what you've done, where you've been, he's your king. And I'm thankful for that. Resurrection Sunday is what we celebrate. We're going to get some scriptures. We're good, Margie, right now. Thank you. I'll have you come back up in a little bit. Switch her mic out too, Melly, so when she comes back later. We're going to be in Matthew this morning, Matthew chapter 27. Let's talk about the price that Jesus paid. Matthew 27. And we are going to begin what verse are we starting on? 27, that's what I thought. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus to the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers. They stripped him and they put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, a reed in his right hand, and they bowed their knee before him and they mocked him, saying, "O hail, King of the Jews." Now let's think about this. Turn all of the mics off up here, all of them except me. Think about this. They were mocking him being king. They were saying, "Oh, you're the great king." And they were put this crown of thorns you see right here up on his head. They cut into his forehead and they're making fun of him. He was being bullied, wasn't he? To the extreme. Through all of that bullying, through all of that being spit upon and being mocked and being hailed as, "Oh, you're the great king, da 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 da." Through all of that, he was going to the cross to offer forgiveness. Forgiveness. Even for the ones that did that. See, as Christians, we're great about putting people in a certain box, aren't we? We think, "Oh, they're not saved because of this. They're not God people because of this. That God don't love them because of this." Here is Jesus, who was dying for the very ones that were hurting him. He was dying for the very ones that were crucifying him. He was dying for the very ones that were spitting on him. I mean, man, somebody gives us a bad hand motion, we want to go rip their head off. Here is Jesus, who in all of his glory surrendered himself to become a servant so he could become a king. He humbled himself. Nobody took him. He wasn't taken by force. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, the soldiers came and got him. But understand, he was God. And so it's not like they had power over him. It's because he gave himself up. Last Sunday, we talked about Palm Sunday and how Jesus rode in on a donkey to turn himself in. He rode in on a donkey, which represented peace. He came in peace, not war. He came in peace. And he turned himself in. And everybody in the city said, "Oh, he's coming to get us out of Roman oppression. He's coming to deliver us from the Roman hand of government." That's not why he came. They didn't have the big picture. He came to redeem them. He came to reconcile them. He came to restore them. He came to heal them. He came to provide mercy and grace beyond something they can never meet. For those of us that think, and we say this, "I'm good enough, Pastor. I do. I'm a pretty good guy. Don't do this. Don't do this." And it's not about, none of us are good. If there wasn't people in here with too much pride, I'd have you look at your neighbor and say that. But some of you can't say that. That you're no good. We're not good. And there is no good in us. We'll see the devil fly out quick if certain buttons are pushing our lives. Mess with your kids to see what button comes out. Mess with your wife or husband to see what button comes out. Man, get cut off in traffic and see what happens. Let them get your Big Mac wrong, and you all up in that place showing yourself. "I said no cheese." Don't you understand? No cheese. And man, we get so upset. Oh, there's no good in none of us, but there's good in him. And that's why he came. And that's why he paid the price. Because we couldn't get there on our own. We could not ever see the kingdom of God based on ourselves. But he went to the cross and he was mocked, he was spit upon, a crown of thorns, all for us and for them, his enemies. They spit upon him. You spit upon my wife, you go see a different Melanie. That's something she don't do. If you want to see sweet Melanie not be sweet no more, spit on her. She will come out of her shell. He was spit upon. Think about that. Spit upon our Lord. They took the reed and they hit him on the back of the head. And after that, they mocked him. They took the robe off of him. They put on his own raiment and they led him away to crucify him. Now, before he was crucified, he had to go to a whipping post. A whipping post, they chained their people's hands in handcuffs where they couldn't go but so far, and they would take a bull whip, a leather whip with pieces of bone, and they would hit someone across the back, wherever they could hit them at. 39 stripes was the maximum allowed by law. So Jesus took 39 lashes. You kids think getting your phones away is child abuse. Well, your mama popping your hind end is child abuse. This was abuse. 39 stripes across his back. And the bones would go into his flesh, and it would rip flesh out every time the whip came out of his body. And he couldn't go nowhere. He was handcuffed to this post. So all that happened before he even got to carry the cross. So he's weak, he's in pain, he's suffering. And it says, they came out, they found a man, Simon, and they compelled him to bear his cross. And when they came into a place called Golgotha, that is to say the place of the skull, they gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, which when he had tasted thereof, he would not drink. This was like an anesthesia or like to take the edge off. And Jesus refused to take it. He suffered fully for us. No help, no aid. I'm suffering fully. Did not drink of the vinegar. And they crucified him. Now, let me talk about crucifixion in case you don't really know what it is. We know it's hanging on a cross, nails, but crucifixion was a suffocating death. They would put the nails in such a position to where a person would have to try to exasperate to breathe, and it restricted the breathing where he couldn't do it. So literally, Jesus choked to death. He suffocated to death. It was a painful crucifixion. It was the worst way to die. It was cruel. It was barbaric. And this is what our Savior endured for us. Because none of us could fulfill this law ourselves. The reason Jesus could, because he was not born of man. He was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born to Virgin Mary. Jesus did not have the blood of man in him. He was not tainted with the blood of man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And so that's why he was the perfect sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. He could meet the needs. No longer did they have to worry about the lamb running away. In that video, when Abraham turned his boys around and says, or when Abraham, when the guy turned his boys around and says, watch the lamb. He was saying, that's the one that mattered. The one that ran away, don't worry about it. The price has been paid. The price has been paid for you. We struggle and we try to think, I've got to do something on my own. I've got to do this. I've got to do this. You rest in the finished work of Jesus. You rest in that and you trust that it's enough. It's enough to save you. It's enough to heal you. It's enough to set you free. It's enough to give you a future. Rest in the finished work of Christ. This is the power of the resurrection. So they've crucified him. They cast lots, they parted his garments, that it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by the prophet. They parted my garments among them. Upon my vesture did they cast lots. And sitting down, they watched him there, and set up over his head this accusation, this is Jesus, the King of the Jews. And there were two thieves crucified, one with him, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, thou hast destroyed the temple, buildest it in 3 days. Save yourself. If you be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him, with the scribes said, "He saved others, himself he cannot save. If he be the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now, if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God." The thieves also which were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Now the sixth hour, there was darkness all over the land unto the ninth hour. 3 hours of darkness. If you do research, this is a supernatural darkness that took over the land. And most believe it's because that the wrath of God was being poured out upon Jesus. That it was so dark because of sin. We know sin keeps us in darkness. When we're in sin, we're normally a little bit more sneaky and hidey, aren't we? We don't boast that all the time. Paul don't go up to Walmart, "Hey, y'all up here in Walmart, I'm sinning. You know what I'm doing right now? I'm being a naughty, naughty boy." We hide that. We cover that. So for 3 hours, the earth had a supernatural darkness as all the judgment. And here's what I want you to hear, because some of us never hear this message because there's too much preaching talking about what you've got to do. I want to tell you this and make this loud and clear. You don't have to do anything but believe in what Jesus has already done. It's a finished work. Jesus paid the price fully for your sins. Now, I know it's Easter service, y'all, but come on, y'all can amen up here. Y'all act like nothing like you do on a normal Sunday morning. Don't be scared of these visitors, these guests. We try so hard to do it on our own. And this is why we fight so much guilt and shame. Because every time we fail, Jewel, every time we fail, we're telling ourselves, "I'm not good enough. You know, I let God down." You ain't holding God up. Don't be saying you let God down. You are not holding God up. God don't need your help. He is all sufficient, all powerful. All the grace and mercy have been poured upon our lives. The Bible says it is a gift of God, lest any man boast. It's not of works. It's a gift. And this is the gift. And this is the price that he paid. So he is here. And he is... The earth is dark as the wrath is being poured out. And then he cried out, verse 46. Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of them that stood there, they heard this. They said, "This man's calling for Elijah." And straightway one of them ran, took a sponge, filled it with vinegar, put it on a reed, and gave it to drink. The rest said, "Let it be. Let us see whether Elijah will come down to save him." And when Jesus had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. He died. He is officially, physically dead at this point. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks did rent. This curtain it is talking about, if you don't know, the curtain covered the temple and separated the outside from the inside. In other words, you couldn't get in. The church door was locked. But when Jesus gave up the ghost, the door became unlocked and the curtain was rent. Jesus saying, "You now have access to me. Come touch my face, touch my throne, talk to me, commune with me. There's no more separation, but now I'll speak to you and you can speak to me. There's no more division because sin has been defeated because the Lamb of God was slain." Think about that moment as that curtain ripped. And the rocks did quake. And it even gets better. Look at the next verse. This is awesome. I love this next verse. "And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." You talk about the walking dead, huh? We talking about the walking living. Because the blood had to be shed before there could be a resurrection. King David knew that. Samson knew that. Moses knew that. Joseph knew that. And when that temple was rent, that curtain, all of a sudden, the price that needed to be paid was paid, and it rose them up, and they came out of their graves, because life is more powerful than death, and grace is more powerful than sin, and light is greater than darkness, because Jesus is Lord over it all. Hallelujah. Think about that moment as these saints rose waiting on that great day of redemption. And this tells me as well, I know some believe a little bit different, just how I believe. Don't nobody shout me down today. It's Easter service and it's this church. If you want to see me afterwards, talk to me. But here's this. This is why I believe that there is an instant presence that we're with God when our last breath ends. Think about this. If these saints rose after his crucifixion, if they rose and the price was paid and life came to them, what makes us think that there's any kind of separation when we take our last breath? I don't believe we're separated. I believe that there's an instant presence of God that we enter into. It's a seamless transition where there is no known absence of time or lapse of his presence, because life is more powerful than death, and we are forever as God's children. We're forever. The Bible says, if you believe in me, if you follow me, you shall not taste death. Jesus said that. So these saints rose up. Look what they did. They didn't just rise. They had witnesses, 53. They came out of their graves after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Glorified bodies? I assume so. Glorified bodies. Rising up out of the death. Waiting. King David knew that. He used to talk about, there'll be a day that he'll mirror my sin no more. There'll be a day that I'll be washed white as snow. There'll be a day that he'll mirror my iniquities no more. There'll be a day there's a Redeemer and he lives. He lives now and he lives forevermore. And there ain't nothing that the world or the devil or society or social media or any media or anybody can do to take away what Jesus has already done. It is finished. It is done. I don't care what. If the news come out today, we have proven. You know, we have proven Jesus Christ did not live. Okay, really? And that means what to me? Doesn't matter what they try to do. Doesn't matter what they try to say. They can't change the fact there was a Calvary. They can't change the fact there was a Jesus. They can't change the fact there was a crucifixion and there was a resurrection and there was an ascension and there is a God of all things. They can't change the fact. Nobody can explain how the earth stays up in the middle of nothing. Oh, yes, they can, preacher. It's called a gravity. Okay, I got you. But what is gravity? Does gravity have a life of its own? Where does gravity come from? Oh, I don't know. Where does dirt come from? I don't know. Where does air come from? I don't know. Where did that moon come from? I don't know. Think about this. Who can invent a sun 93 million miles away from us that stays in the air and gives us what we need? I mean, just think about that. See that moon last night? Anybody see the big moon? It was beautiful. I almost started howling. Oh, it was so big and so beautiful. I'm like, man, my God. You know what makes that moon shine? Moonshine. You know, I got y'all attention now. Y'all all excited up in here. You know what makes that moon shine? The sun. The moon has no light on its own. It is the sun reflecting on the moon that illuminates it, just like our lives. The sun illuminates our lives. We have no light apart from Christ. We are dark and we are void and we are empty. But no more. No more are we empty and no we dark. So these saints, they appear to many. Now the centurion, is that my last verse on that? Oh no. When the centurion and they were with him watching Jesus, they saw the earthquake and those things that were done, and they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And many women were beholding afar off, which followed Jesus. Am I still going through there? Is that right? That's the last one. Okay, pick me up now where we are. So here we see Jesus. He's been crucified. Saints have come out. Now we're in chapter 28, right? Verse 59, thank you. When Joseph had taken the body, he wrapped it in a clean linen cloth. He laid it in his own tomb, which he had hewn out of the rock. He rolled a great stone to the door of the sepulcher and departed. And there was Mary Magdalene and other Mary sitting over against the sepulcher. The next day they followed the day of preparation. The chief priests, the Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, sir, we remember that deceiver said while he was yet alive. I love that. We remember deceiver said. After 3 days I will rise again. Command, therefore, that the sepulcher be made sure. Guard the grave, in other words, until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal it away and say to the people, he is risen from the dead, so the last error shall be worse than the first. And Pilate said to them, "You have a watch, go your way, make it as sure as you can." So they went, made the sepulchre sure, sealing the stone and setting a watch. Here they're saying, let's watch the grave because the disciples may go sneak him out and deceive everybody saying he's really risen when he hadn't. So they got the grave guarded. That's going to stop the resurrection, isn't it? Because they got guards out there. That's going to stop Jesus from rising again. So after the Facebook post, Christian shared it with me. It's so great. Here's a picture of Jesus doing this. And they said, they said I wouldn't stay dead. No, they said I would stay dead. Yeah. They said, he's got a picture of this, and they said I would stay dead. Then April Fools. I thought that was so hilarious, you know. I thought they would stay dead. April Fools rose again. So they got this graveyard guarded, got somebody by the tomb. Let's see what happens in chapter 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn, toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. Behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat up on it. His countenance was like lightning, his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, "Fear not, for I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord had laid. Guards could not keep him from rising again. People's thoughts couldn't keep him from rising again. He is not there. And because he's not there, and because he's not dead, that must mean he is alive. And he is alive, he lives inside of us. Our sign, I love Shirley, which is on the sign for this month, that says, "The one that died for us also walks with us." Think about that. The one that died for us also walks with us. He walks with you in every trial, every storm, every tribulation. He hears you. He knows you. He knows every tear. He knows every sorrow. He knows every pain. He knows every truth. He knows every lie. He knows every deceit. He knows every darkness. He knows every good thing, every bad thing, every thought, every purpose, every intention. He knows everything about your heart, everything about your life. And here's the good news, yet he loves us. I say this all the time. In spite of me, God loves me. In spite of you, God loves you. In spite of how we act, God loves us. And he died for all humanity to become king of every person in the human race. I love when I see other nations worshiping God in their native tongue, and they're worshiping Jesus, and I think how they're crying out the same Savior that we are. How they're worshiping the same cross, the same Calvary, the same empty tomb, the same resurrection, the same living Savior, the same Lamb of God. They're worshiping that. You need hope today? I've got hope for you. It's called Jesus. You need hope for your future? It's called Jesus. You need hope for tomorrow? It's called Jesus. I know that knowing Jesus and having Jesus in our lives does not make every bad thing in our lives go away. I understand that, and I get that. And I know some people get so discouraged because they're like, "I'm praying, and I'm seeking God, I'm trusting God, and things keep happening, things don't work out, I'm still sick, I've not got my healing, I've not got my deliverance, I've not, you know, got my answer, I keep praying, nothing's happening, I keep praying, nothing's happening." I promise you, in God's timing, in God's season, all things will come to pass and be fulfilled according to how his purpose for your life is. Trust him with that. There is hope for you because he's risen. There's hope for tomorrow because he's risen. There's hope in your life because he's risen. He is not there anymore. For 2,000 years, the tomb has been empty. For over 2,000 years, he's been Lord and King. Over 2,000 years, generation after generation is drawn by the same Holy Presence, the same Holy Spirit that the generation before them was drawn by. When they hear the good news of the gospel, when they hear the word of God, and say, "You know what? I've tried everything, but I've not let him be my king. I've tried doing this and I've tried doing that, but I've not let him be my king." You know what a king does for you? It provides for you. If my dad was a king, I'd have a lot more than I got right now. I'd have me a gold tooth. If my dad was a king, I'd let everybody know that. I'd be one of them people if somebody give me, cop pulls me over. You know who I am? You know my dad is? David Lewis. King David. My dad's King David, Mr. Officer. Do you not know who my dad is? We'd be bragging on that all day long, man. And you know what? My daughter, my youngest one, is still at home for 3 more years. She is, we call her Anita. Her nickname's Anita. Because every time I go to Walmart, hey, Dad, I need. Hey, Dad, I need. Hey, Dad, I need. Hey, Mom, I need. Hey, Mom, I need. Hey, Dad, I need. You know why she feels comfortable doing that? Because we're stupid. And we're suckers. And she gets usually what she asks, not always. But she knows. So she asks. She feels comfortable enough getting what she asked for that she asks. What if we treat God that way? Lord, you're my king. You provide for me. You've got what I need. You're the source of all things. If I need peace, you've got it. I need strength, you've got it. I need patience, you've got it. I need direction, you've got it. I need breakthrough, you've got it. I need a soulmate, you've got it. I need my kids, Lord, saved, you've got it. Begin to call upon your king and pray and make your requests known before him. He is able to provide because he's alive. He's not some statue we worship. He's not a pagan god. He's not a false god. He's not a lifeless god. He's not something that is out there floating around the atmosphere that we hope we get a glimpse of or hope that he's hearing us. The Bible's clear that he knows our thoughts before we even think them. The Bible also says this, his ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. God knows what we need. And because he's alive, we're alive. We do not taste death. We do not face the grave. And I want to say this because some of us don't hear this message. I want to make, and this is, if we believe what Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. That word condemnation means judgment. There's no more judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. If you were in a courtroom and you were standing before a judge, and you had charges that you had done, you were guilty of committing these offenses, but the judge says your case is dismissed. We know what that means. It means that it was like it never happened. It's wiped away. This is what the cross did to our sins. Your case, your charges are dismissed. But God, I'm guilty, but I've paid the price. But God, I did do it, but I've paid the price. But God, I have done what I have done. I know, but I've paid the price. Your case dismissed because he's risen. Because he's alive. This is celebrated all over the world for most part in some way. Easter is what they call it, or Resurrection Sunday. I like what Anna said when I come in. I agree. We want to honor Resurrection Sunday. Because that's what it's about. Our risen King, our Lord and Savior, who lives forever, and we live forever. When you go to the graveyard for a child of God, they're not there. I want you to know they're not there. They're not dead. They're very much alive. They have very much broke the bounds of this earthly boundary that we tie ourselves to, and they are very much living in a whole other realm because of the price that Jesus paid. Trust him today. If he's not your king, he can be your king. You believe. Yes, Lord, I believe. I believe you died for me. Easy to think he died for somebody else. I know he died for Jewel, not me. You don't know Jewel very good, do you? That's funny. He died for all of us. He died for humanity. Remember when Paul first got converted? And God called him. He started preaching to them old Gentiles. God called him out of Jerusalem. He started preaching to Gentile people. And they got all upset. Sometimes we get upset, don't we? Christians do get upset. Why they let them to church for? Why are they looking like that? Why are they dressed like that? Why they act like that? And I can't believe they go there. And preacher lets them do this and let them do this. Paul preached to Gentiles who were considered not God's people in that day. We are God's people. And he is our king. Come on up, Martin. Are y'all cold or hot or what? I know I turned the air on a little bit. Test your mic, Marjorie. Make sure it works good.
Testing.
I want each of you to know in here before you leave this place today that Jesus paid a price that we could never pay, and it's paid in full. And in John chapter 19, when he gave up the ghost, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." That means it's complete. It's done. Trust the finished work of Jesus for your life today. Our King could give you whatever you need. I know there's people here that need a physical healing in your body. You need a healing. There's no answers. Or maybe there is answers, but a lot needs to be done to bring that healing in your life. Your King can do that today. Your living King can heal your body. He can heal your brokenness. When your life is so shattered in a million pieces and you have no idea how to put it back together, God does. The peace of God, the Bible says, passeth all understanding. We can have peace in a world of fear. We can have joy in a world of sorrow because of Jesus. Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Will you stand with me? I know this song probably. Let's sing it together.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know because He lives, because He lives, I can face tomorrow. Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know
that music. Y'all sing it to him, church.
Because He lives, I can face tomorrow.
Thank you, Lord.
Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know He holds the future, and life is worth the giving just because He lives.
What's her name?
Ethel.
Lord, as she stands in proxy for Ethel right now, let Your peace and let Your presence fill her life in this time. Surround her, Lord. Fill her room wherever she lays, and let her see Your face. Let her feel Your presence and give her the release, God, to know everything's all right, that You've got her. In Jesus' name, amen. Our faith needs to be a active working faith, a living faith, that we really believe and we trust. It's not just something that we keep in these walls, but it's something that we carry with us. God can heal you in the middle of the night. God can send that person on spot for your life. God can deliver you and unlock your chains in a moment. Just trust Him with that. Father, for every heart in here this morning that is overcome and burdened, they're broken, they're confused, they're discouraged, they're overwhelmed by life. Let them see, God, their future right now, and that all the gates of hell that come against them cannot stop them from entering what you have prepared for them. That the boundaries and the borders of this life, the limitations that hold us down here, will give way to what you have prepared. That the limitations right now that we face, that keep us strapped in, they will give way, God, to a deliverance that no man can stop, because you've already paid the price and done it. It is finished. It is done. Let us press toward the mark of the high calling. Let us look towards you, who is our hope and our help, who is our refuge in time of trouble, who's a present help right now. And I pray, God, for this congregation, for healing, for deliverance, for breakthrough, for peace, for strength, for understanding, for patience, for discernment, in the name of our Lord. You're our King, God. You want to give us all the desires of our hearts as we come to you. You want to pour out your blessings upon our lives. And your word says you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. You're our King, God. Thank you for that. You're our King who's alive forevermore. Death no longer has you. We are thankful, God. And I pray the needs in this place are met by your hand and by your power. Beginning even now, God, where we stand, let healing and let your presence overtake us and speak to us a word that we need for our lives. Comfort us, keep us, guard us, and guide us in all that we do, Lord. For you deserve all the praise and you deserve all the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. Hey, sing "How Great Is Our God." How great is our God, Brandon? Pull that one up. We'll close out with this worship song tonight, this morning.
The splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, it trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God. Age to age he stands, and time is in his hand. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the lion and the lamb. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy of our praise, and my heart will sing how great is our God. Name above all names, you are worthy. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. And all will see how great is our God.
Yes, Jesus. Yes, it is. Above every name.
You are worthy of all praise. And my heart will sing how great
yes.
is our God.
Amen.
Name above all names. You are worthy of all praise.
How great is our God, name above every name. Do not leave this place today without saying, Lord, I want you to be my King. I trust you, Lord. You paid the price for my sins, and I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. I'm tired of trying to earn righteousness, tired of trying to earn holiness. I'm tired of trying to earn sanctification. You paid the price, Jesus. You did all the work. It's a gift. And I want to rest in what you did. If I bought you a car, Trevor, if I gave you a key, said, here's a brand new Mustang, would you argue about it too much? Yeah, I didn't think so. Trevor wouldn't try to say, hey, let me, here, I'll give you some money. Nah, I don't want no money. Here's the keys. Here's the title. It's done. Use it and enjoy it. It's been paid for. Jesus paid for your sins. All of them. Not just the bad ones. Not just the little ones. Paid for all of them. Paid for your past sins, your present sins, and oh yeah, them tomorrow sins. He paid for those. So make him your King today. Say, Jesus, I ask you to be my King. Forgive me of all that I've done and ever will do, Lord. And I trust the blood that was spilt covers me all of my days. That it covers me, God, all of my days. And that last sacrifice of the Lamb that was needed was enough for all time. And Lord, I know I'm yours today because of the price you paid. And I call upon you to be my Lord and my King and my Savior. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.